Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Today is our Global Perspective Sunday. And there's just a couple of things that there is a piece of paper that will be passed out to you right now. Thank you to the host team. Thank you for reminding me. And if I can grab one, that'd be great. Just, yep, thank you. What we want to do today is give you an update, insight, cast a little bit of vision about our global perspective side of Compass Church, which is, I guess, our mission heart. And we obviously have a few things that Jesus clearly commanded us to do. What we did this morning in communion. He said, do this in remembrance of me. It was a command for us to do as a community of believers to do. To be water baptized is another command that Jesus asked us to do. Gather together like we are. You know, do not forsake the gathering together of the saints as some are in the habit of doing. And so coming together like this is something that God desires for his church. You know, worship and prayer are things that he desires us to do, and something that he very much clearly commanded us to do, the Great Commission, which is found Matthew, Mark, Luke, into a slightly different different wording in John. But we have here this final command of Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them and saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore. Turn to the person next to you and say, go. Turn to the person next to you and say, just get out of here. Don't say that. Don't say that. Turn to the person next to you and just say, go. You ever thought about this? The word God. Two-thirds of the word God is go. Go. I think there was a band called Andaskeptic that had a song called that. But two-thirds of the word God is go. And Jesus here says, go. Do you notice he doesn't say, come and gather in a church building? He encourages us to do that, but it's not the command that he calls his children to follow. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, plural, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning that we have been called by you, that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ, you died for us, that long before we even decided to seek you out, you'd already found us, that you were a part of our lives, and when we opened the door of our heart to you, you came in and longed to lead us into a life and a life to the full. But Lord, we're very conscious and aware that there are so many people in the streets surrounding us this morning in this city of Glen Eira, in this great city of Melbourne, in this great and wonderful nation of Australia, in the nations of the world. There are so many that are yet to come to know you. And so, Father, this morning, I just pray supernaturally, Holy Spirit, you'd be free to do whatever firstly is that you want to do. But I pray you would stir within us a fresh reminder of this great commission, the call, the command that we have to go. And so this morning, I just pray this service would fulfill all that you purpose for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Acts 1:8 says that you shall receive power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, so that you can be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And in terms of taking the good news of Jesus Christ, and by that I mean that we're all born with that terminal disease called sin, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages and the penalty for that sin is death, physical death, but also spiritual and eternal separation from God. But yet God has given through his son Jesus Christ the cure for that terminal disease called sin, which we've come into the saving grace and knowledge of. And it should be and can be transforming our lives into all that we were created to be. And so this wonderful, marvelous thing, this wonderful salvation that we have, it should be that real and life-changing and transforming in our lives that we have that desire to share it with others. Because if you experience something great, you want to tell somebody about it. You know, I wish I could stand here this morning and say that the Crows played great and they got over the top of us, but I can't, so I'm not going to talk about that. But when something great does happen, you want to tell everyone about it. Do you get what I'm saying? And so we desire that your encounter and your relationship with God in this place is so profound, so impacting, so revolutionary that you've got to share it with others. And then so when I do say something like Jesus commands us to go out and tell people about it, you just go, I don't need to be told. I just want to tell people about it. I just, like, seriously, there's something happening in my life. And even through the darkest and the tough times, I go through that stuff in a totally different way now than I used to. And so in every area of my life, in my relationships, in my work, in my health, in my thinking, in my mind, in every aspect of my life, in my sport, I used to sit and pray in the change rooms, you know, sit, and the coach and a few of the players had a crack at me, and they said, why would you do that? I said, well, I need God's help to be the best I can out in the field today. And then fortunately, once I started to play, they said, no, leave Phil alone, he needs to pray. It's all right, he's playing good footy, just whatever he needs to do, his little ritual, whatever it is, just let him do it. And just like, you know, I just have to, God wants to be involved in every area of our life, and we've asked to experience his transformational power in our lives and desire, but he actually commands us to go into all the world and tell. Does it say in verse 19, some of you can go? If you feel like it, you can. When it suits you, you can. If you haven't got something better to do, you can. Does it say that? I don't know. What is your definition? What does your version say? Have you got that in there? It's like, well, as long as, and Sean touched on this morning, as long as it doesn't look bad on me that I share my faith, then I will. Pride. Or I'm worried about what people will think. That's fear of man. And Jesus says here, he promises, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. And so there is no out clause in this for any of us. We're all called to go into wherever we find ourselves and be the light, to be the salt, to be Jesus, to be his hands and feet, to be that wherever we go. There is no exemptions, there is no exclusions. Anyone who confesses Christ as Lord is called to go in some way, shape or form. And I hope maybe in some way I'm making you a little bit uncomfortable this morning. Because we need to be, because we live in a lost and dying world. And confronted again with recently the schools tour, and I was called to look up. And Jesus, didn't he say to his disciples, hey, he said, look up and see the harvest, for the harvest is ripe. But so often we kind of just look down and look at like what I'm going through, and we don't take the time to look up and see. And as I said, we need to do that within our own community, but we need to do that in the community outside of the four walls of this church. In your workplace, I dare you this week, just at one point, just sit and instead of kind of, you know, just take 15 to 20 seconds, just look up and look around and just ask God, who in this room do you want me to connect with? God, I'm telling you, I guarantee if you pray that prayer, Lord, just give me an opportunity today to share you with somebody. It will come. It will be there. Because God's more committed to using you than you are to being used when it comes to reaching others with the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. So you just go, you know what, I don't have the words to say. I don't know what to say. That's okay. Neither do I. I guarantee you, any situation, intense situation that I go to, I pray and I say, God, I have no idea how I'm going to handle this. I don't know what to say. Holy Spirit, you said you, in the right time at that moment, you would give me the words to say. Now would be a good time. So if you feel like that, it's okay. You're normal. Don't be overwhelmed by the fear of not knowing what to say. Allow the Holy Spirit to come and just give you the words to say. Give you the power, the strength, the courage that you need in whatever circumstance you find yourself in. Because he will make that available to you. And he does make that available to us. So we as a church, we take this mandate, this command, this commission very seriously. It's what Jesus has asked us to do. So there's a few levels in following the Acts 1:8 model, going into Jerusalem, it's our local context, through Compass Community Care, into Judea and Samaria, into the state and the nation of Australia. We do through supporting Scripture Union, and particularly Artie Fiedler, who you'll hear from this morning about chaplaincy. And then to the uttermost parts, or to the ends of the earth, the nations, Our connection with that is Malawi, as you know, and you'll hear a little bit about that. So I'm going to get Shavantha up here, and he's going to give us an update on how Compass Community Care is helping us as a church fulfill the Great Commission in our Jerusalem. Put your hands together for this guy.
Thanks, Phil. I just thought I'd give a brief, if anyone hasn't heard about Compass Community Care. Those are our three pillars to connect, serve and build, and part of that Great Commission and the extension of Compass Church. We want to be an organisation that connects with the people in the community and the organisations who are already doing a great work in the community. We want to serve the people who need help, who needs to be noticed, who need to be loved and who need to be cared for. And we want to build people up. We want to build the community up because our heart as a church is to build big people. So as we build big people, we have a bigger community who desire to serve others and not just themselves. Compass Community Care is a little bit distinct from the church in that, unfortunately, we live in a world where we can't go out and just openly speak about God and Jesus in anywhere or everywhere. So the Compass Community Care allows us to do that, to just go and do and be Christ in places where we can't talk about him. Matthew 25:34-40, Jesus speaks to, when he's separating sheep and the goats, he's speaking to the righteous and says, "When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me." And the people ask Jesus, "When did we do these things for you, Lord?" And he reminds them, "Whenever you did to the least of these, you have done for me." And that is our heart at Compass Community Care, to do to the very least of those in our community. Because we do all things as unto God, and we want to serve Christ, and we want to serve the people in our community. And that's our heart. So just to give you an update on what has been very recently and what is to come, if we can move to the next slide. Yeah, so that's the schools tour that just happened in May with Seth and Preston and Reggie, where we got to kind of speak to over 16,000 kids and do, just over 40 sessions across the schools, and that was great. And people have been writing back to us, and on the back of that, we're looking at going in August with Lamont and a couple of his crew. We're trying to get into 10 schools because we've only got them for 2 days, so trying to get them into 10 schools and just continue that momentum and just really encourage the kids and continue to let them know that there's hope and that there's love out there. Something else that we have done as well is the winter drive of jackets. So there's over in excess of 200 items of clothing and that we were able to get to George and the Fijian church who helped that out. So thank you to you for doing that. If you want to keep giving jackets and things, you still can for maybe till the end of the month, so in the next week or two, if you've got stuff, you can bring that in, because they still need stuff, so that would be great. Something we're looking at doing in September, in terms of supporting and encouraging those who are already doing a good work in the community, is having a local heroes afternoon tea. So we just want to say thanks to the people who have already been doing a good work even before we got here. So we want to acknowledge those people. So September, 21st of September is when we're looking at doing that. And hopefully by the year's end, and this is something that's big on my heart as well, is trying to get a feeding program happening. So where one day a week people can come in and have a meal, and my heart is that it's not just soup that they come and have, but they actually get to sit down and have a meal and be community with people where they might not otherwise get to do that. So that's what we're looking at doing. So that's kind of just a brief overview of what has happened and what is to come in the short future. So if we can go to the next slide, if you do want to kind of get on board, if you do want to help out, are interested in doing things, feel free to just get in touch with me, send an email to the info@Compass Care website or directly to my Compass Care email address. Phone number's there as well, so it's different to the church phone number. As well as just jumping on the website, you can fill out a form and shoot through suggestions, ideas, and things as well. So thank you for supporting Compass Community Care. We look to kind of taking Christ out into the world in what we do. So thank you.
Thanks, mate. You and the team, Joan, who oversees the proactive side of what we do, and Gail, who oversees the responsive side with meals, etc., are doing a fantastic job and massive growth potential in that. So that's our Jerusalem. So when we talk about Judea and Samaria going a little bit broader, we're talking about the state of Victoria and having a broader impact, supporting worthwhile causes and ministries that are doing that. One that we have had a long-term relationship with, me personally, but as a church, is one guy that oversees the chaplaincy aspect of Scripture Union. So we're going to hear from him right now. So put your hands together for Artie Fiedler as he shares with us.
Thanks, mate. I've got to tell you, before I share a little bit, I'm picturing on Sunday Jemima over in the corner with just no friends. Leave her alone t-shirts on Phil and Michael. So like, Jemima, please talk to Jemima, but just don't spend any time with Dave Noy and any of his friends. But that's all I want you to do. Listen, I do want to say, when Phil asked me to come and share what's going on with Scripture Union and my involvement, I was so rapt, because it gives me a chance to do what I've wanted to do for a long time, and that is publicly say thank you to my church. Thank you so much for your financial support of myself and my wife. As you can see, we can pay our bills and feed ourselves, and that's terrific. But if you look at my son, it looks like we don't give him much food. But I do want to say, it gives me a chance to say thanks so much, because I love what I do. I'm passionate about it. For many years, Phil's been not been ministry supports, but good friends. And so I felt his support as a friend, but I've also felt my church support me in a huge way. I suppose the birth of my involvement in chaplaincy and Scripture Union's come out of my own background. I grew up outer east of Melbourne. 13 years of age, my parents divorced. By the time I was 16, I wasn't getting on well with my mum and my stepfather, and so they asked me to leave the house. So I moved out of home at 16, and it was the church and my involvement with a young person at church that at school that got me into families that basically cared for me. I couch surfed for a few months and spent a number of years with different people boarding and being looked after. So I know that sat with me. God was working on me and calling me into a ministry in reference to the things that I went through, the things that I experienced. When you think about mid-teens and school time, it's a time in your life when you're making decisions about your career and relationships and friendships. Your own beliefs and your values are sort of getting formed out of that time. And I know for me, that very much has driven the things that I've wanted to do and the things that God has called me to do. So chaplaincy was definitely birthed out of that time in my life and thinking through, I want to be a support to young people at that time in their life. I want to be able to be that sort of person that I experienced through families and through my friend at school. Someone that could provide a hope. And that's when I was introduced to Jesus at 16 years of age. And it changed my life. So I wanted to be that sort of person for young people too. That's what drives my passion, without a doubt. In 2007, in chaplaincy, we had 3 volunteer youth workers working one day a week, volunteering a day a week. And now, almost 8 years later, we're the second largest chaplaincy provider in Victoria. And that has been birthed out of you guys, because I couldn't pay my bills without the support of people like my church and individuals that support us. In chaplaincy, there is money to provide some of the salary, but there's no money to provide on costs and support of chaplains. They would simply be on their own. And in fact, there's even not enough money to provide the on costs for them. It's churches and communities and people that get behind them to put the money in to pay their salaries. And they're not on big salaries. Let me encourage you. So I look at it now, and when you look at SU Australia, it's actually the largest chaplaincy provider in Australia. You've been a part of that. I know that might be difficult for you to conceptualise, but where we were in start of 2007 and where we are now wouldn't have happened. I couldn't have done what I've been involved in without you. So I want to say to you, thank you. I feel blessed and completely privileged. My role in chaplaincy is to supervise and support. I've got 16 chaplains that I meet up with. I travel on the road most of the week. I'm in the office maybe half a week in Northcote. And I go everywhere from Euroa. I'm up at Euroa tomorrow, down to Somerville. So I travel up and down in the car. I meet up with principals, student wellbeing coordinators, to see how the program's going. I look for resources for the chaplains. And once a week, I'm involved at Bayswater Secondary mentoring year 11s and 12 students. So I sit down with them, play Uno, drink Milo, and just have a great time hanging out with students myself. The schools tour was very much a collision of my church life and my ministry life at SU, because almost a third of the schools that we went into were SU chaplaincy schools. And I remember when we were looking at the schools tour a number of years ago, that was very much, you know, how can we get into our schools, which is often really difficult. As Jemima and others will know, for whatever reasons, there's a variety of situations you've got to overcome to get in, to build that trust within school communities. So to see that grow has been incredible. One of the other ways, I wanted to share just two quick stories before I finish up. Many of you would have met Monique. Mon's not here. She's on holidays at the moment. Mon's a good friend of Ben's. And I might get emotional about this one. Mon was a year 9 student who I had contact with in a mentoring group about 5 years ago. And she was part of a group of kids that I spent time with. And around 3 years ago, she rang me up and said, "Hey, look, I've left school. I don't know what I want to do. Can I catch up for a coffee?" And we caught up for a coffee and just talked about her future. And I remember at that time, in that connection, I think I ended up taking my son to a party of theirs that I was invited to. Ben got to know Mon and a number of her friends, and then they struck up a friendship. And so a few months ago, when I saw Mon come and make a commitment to Christ, I've seen her from a kid at school come into an understanding of a relationship with Jesus Christ through relationships with people. And so to see her now passionate about God and asking questions and friends with Ben and all that's been just such a gift. And to see that happen all the way through. Just quickly, one other story which was quite profound. Last year, our chaplain at down the southeast, we've had a lot of suicides in that region down there in the schools. It's been quite unbelievable. And our chaplain was in his office one day. He gets a knock at the door, and this student came in, a year 10 student, and said, "Look, so-and-so has just said on Facebook his goodbyes." And so the chaplain got up, went and saw the AP. They found out the student wasn't at the school. They rang the paramedics and actually went round to the house. And they got into the house, and this student was actually unconscious. And they actually resuscitated the student. And it made me realise just how much God uses chaplains and people in the school on the front line. The student obviously felt comfortable enough to come, approach the chaplain, say, "Look, I'm worried about a friend of mine. Can you please do something?" And it was a good outcome, a really godly good outcome. That doesn't always happen like that. So I want to say thanks so much for your prayers, for your finance, for your support, for your friendship. If you are interested in just hearing, we sent out a termly prayer letter, which has some information about family and about more about SU. If you want to get that information, come and see me afterwards, and I'll just get your name and address and send that out to you once a term if you want to keep up with us. But, you know, love you, and I feel blessed being part of my church here, so thanks.
Wow, it's great to be involved in things like that, hey? And also, you know, the it's an interesting climate we have in regards to schools ministry across the board, you know, CRE in schools and things, as well as, you know, chaplains, the Supreme Court ruling this week, if you're not aware. It's all very interesting and precarious. We have a potentially a window of opportunity that I believe we should appropriately make the most of. And these guys are doing that, and it's something we believe in supporting. So that's one of the areas when it comes to our Judea and Samaria. To hear about the ends of the earth, I'm going to get Paul up just to give a quick update on our Malawi project. We have a team going over at the end of July, start of August. So put your hands together for Paul Porter.
I'm just really blessed to be able to share about Malawi again. As you can see, that's Malawi. It's on the slightly east of Africa. And it's really interesting when Phil was sharing that the commission is, you know, sort of Jerusalem, Judea, and the outer parts of the world. Well, actually, we've sort of turned it around. We're the actual outer part of the world, and we're sort of going back into Africa, close to where it all started. But it's the sixth poorest country in the world, although that's actually changed. It's actually the fourth poorest country in the world. The US and Britain have taken out a lot of their money that they've poured in there, so it's actually getting poorer and poorer. But last year, we were really blessed, actually earlier this year. Anyway, we support two parts in Malawi. There's a school run by the pastor of the church. If you go to the next slide, we actually had a charity exercise classes run earlier on, and they raised $1,800. Now, that was done by Tia and her group, and they raised $1,800 in two classes, which is just amazing. And as you can notice, it's all women. But you think $1,800, okay, what has that been able to achieve? That's actually running the school. 26 kids, in the next slide if you can. You can't quite see the figures, but that's okay. 26 kids. That $1,800 is going to finance that school for 26 kids for the whole year. It's feeding them, it's giving them liquid, it's financing another teacher, it's supplying them with the material that they use. $1,800 for 26 children. That works out to, well, it's covering everything that they're needing at the moment. Now, Tia's going to be running another class before we go overseas again. Now, I'd actually like to see some of our people including in this, to make it bigger this year. We want to be able to bless these kids. These kids, there are some of them there, and if you just stroll through that, a couple of the extras. These kids, their parents can't afford to send them to the local schools. Some of these kids, their parents have AIDS, so their parents aren't going to be living all that much longer. Also, it means that the kids actually, hopefully, will live to go to secondary school. And you might think, well, hang on, now you're starting to pull some heartstrings. I may be, but it's actual truth. Their lifespan, if they don't get the food from us, they possibly won't be getting it from anywhere else. And that's just the truth. So there's that part of it. Then we as a church also, if you go to the next slide, we actually were able to, just through just amazing contacts, and it's just a God thing, 5 years ago, we actually, if you go back one slide, through contacts, we were able to buy some land for a church over there. If you notice the blue dot up there, that's next to the land that we bought. The church over there couldn't afford it, so we were blessed. We were a really small church at that time. We bought the land there. The green patch there is where I've actually been able to get them to grow maize to help support some of their people in the church. Because once again, they need to be able to be self-sufficient. They need to be able to grow some food for themselves. If you go to and the stadium there is actually the new football stadium. So a lot of the stuff is coming out to that area where we've got the land. If you go to the next slide, that's they've built this brick wall right around the land, but that's a sign that they've got. Now, these guys, they really live the word. Now, if you look at it, they have healing. Go back again, sorry. They have healing, deliverance services, intercession, Bible feasts. But at the bottom, they say prayers are answered. And they really, really live it. They really believe it. If you keep on going again, sorry. That's where they're meeting at the moment. They have built that there. Looks pretty terrible, but it's okay. We've laid the foundation. They've gone a step further. We have put all the plumbing and everything through. That's the interior of where they're meeting. So they've set up really well. And they're really, really... They just love that we support them. That's up there all the time, that flag. Keep going if you don't mind. That's one of the younger pastors that he's bringing through. Keep going again. Now, that yellow section there is the next part that we're building. It's going to have the walls up and around. The centre part with the lecture rooms, the entrance and the open yard, that's actually going to be where they will meet before we build the main part. The dormitory areas is hopefully where we're going to be having schools, a school rooms. So yet again, over the other side of town to where the present school is, we're hopefully going to be starting school there as well. And all the toilets and everything are going to be set up as well. Now, last year I was actually blessed enough to be able to do some teaching over there. And people just come from everywhere. You've got to remember, we talk about Area 49, which is where our land is. But we actually have contact and deal with 13 churches. So it's not just a small thing that we're blessed to be able to touch people with. It's 13 churches. And this is just part of the crowd that met last year from the 13 churches, the ones that could actually afford to get there. And just kept on going around and around. So us as a small church, we're very blessed to be able to touch people's lives. These people, it's amazing. They have nothing. You see them there, that they're really dressed up. But these are the people we really touch, that we really want to touch. These are the people on the land that we've bought for the church. The kids. The next generation. The ones that we really want to touch. The ones that we'll be able to teach at the building that we're going to build. That you are going to build. With your money. With your love. With your prayers. It's these ones that we're going to touch. It's these ones that are going to grow up. And then the next generation. So I just want to thank you all for already putting in what you have put in. But Phil will talk more about it. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Paul. As I said, we've got a team going over the end of July, first 2 weeks of August, and we're looking to do a lot of practical hands-on work within the school and the building project and the crusade with the Canadian team. And so we'll be letting you know of an itinerary that you can be praying for with the team that's going over. I think there's 9 of us going, which is really exciting. On the piece of paper that you've got, because I'm just conscious of time, just see there a little bit of what I've gone through this morning and a little bit of an outline of where we currently and what we support within our global perspective. So what's next? I want to draw your attention to the bottom of the page, which is on Sunday the 20th of July is we just want to have that. We've never done this before. It's just an initiative that we thought was a good way for us to be able to move forward with our global perspective growth and development from what you've heard today and more of what we want to do. And so we'd like to give you the next month just to think and pray about whether what you've heard and seen today, for us to be able to expand what we're doing. The reality is that it just takes, you know, prayer and love and support, but it takes finance. And so what we want to give people to do in the new financial year is to give you the opportunity to consider an amount that you'd like to give each month as a pledge towards our global perspective department. And so that would be over and above your normal tithes. And so what we're talking about is an offering over and above your tithes. Biblically, I believe that tithe should come into the storehouse, that is the local church, wherever you may be. But then there are the opportunity for offerings over and above that. And this is one of those that we want you to think and pray about. So just so you know that what we have as a principle, just as we put it out there and say, look, we believe that tithing 10% of everything that comes in is a biblical principle, that Nat and I, we live by it, have lived by it, and we believe we live in the blessing of that, that we encourage you as individuals to do that. The reality of our finances at Compass Church is, and every church on the planet, not everybody tithes. People come up with their reasons as to why they should or why they shouldn't sort of tithe on the whole amount. That's a personal decision between you and God. We don't know who gives or doesn't give. The reality of our church books is I don't look at the givers. That's none of my business. But the figure that we give each month is not representative of 10% of the income that we have at this church. That's the reality. Now, that concerns me as a pastor because that means that you're potentially not living in the fullness of what God's got for your life. Money is such a sensitive issue. But yet, God has outlined clear principles on how we can manage and steward our finance and actually live under the blessing in this area. And I believe it flows onto every area of our life because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. So therefore, if you are not tithing, if you do not give, then it's something, as always, I challenge you to go away and pray about and read about. If you have questions about that, please come and talk to me about that. So when it comes to our giving as a church, it's a principle we live by. As a church, we live by the tithing principle. By that, I mean that 10% of everything that comes into Compass Church, we tithe into our global perspective, our mission department. Are you with me? Okay, so just follow me on this. So because what we're presenting here today, we're talking about Compass Community Care, Scripture Union, which are both charitable organizations which are eligible for tax deductibility. So when it comes to your pledges on July the 20th, and we'll remind you of this, if you want to pledge specifically towards Compass, supporting Compass Community Care and our global perspective, or Scripture Union with what the chaplaincy stuff's doing, or you just go, look, Phil, we'll leave it up to you guys where that finance needs to be allocated, then we can issue you a tax-deductible receipt for that giving. If you would like your global perspective pledge on the 20th of July to go towards the Malawi, then it will go to the Compass Church finances, and it's not tax deductible at this stage. Is that clear? So whatever you choose to do, you just need to think in your mind. You might go, well, I just don't really care. You guys decide where you want it to go. It's a pledge, so it's not about the tax deductibility. That's fine, and we can work out where it's best going to be allocated and used. But I just really want to make sure it's clear that 10% of everything that comes in on a monthly basis anyway goes to Malawi, but that's not to say we don't need more finance for Malawi. Please don't think that. But if you would like to specifically allocate it to Compass Care or to, you know, the Scripture Union stuff that we're doing, that is tax deductible. So just gives you something to think about between now and July 20th. It's a month for you to think and pray about it. Hopefully we've been able to communicate that on your piece of paper that you've got there that you can take away. Because as I said, there's a lot more we'd love to do. We're just about in the process and of transferring the next amount of money for the building project in Malawi, which is $5,500 that we've got accumulated, which is going to get the next stage that Paul spoke about pretty much completed, which is exciting. And we'll give you regular updates on that. But yeah, very, very exciting. So if you have any questions about the pledge day on July the 20th, as I said, it's not something we've done before. But we see that it's just a practical way that from, if you can imagine from a budget forecast perspective, if we know we've got this amount of dollars coming in, we can commit to this within Malawi, within Compass Community Care, within Scripture Union. So I think it just makes it easier from a budget and forecast perspective. Does that make sense? All right, cool. As I said, any questions, please, you can have a chat to myself, or if you've got questions about the specific areas we're involved in, I know Artie and Paul and Shavantha are here to answer any questions you may have. But thank you so much for listening, and let me just close in prayer so we can head off and enjoy the rest of our afternoon. Father, we just thank you that your heart is that none should perish. Your heart is, Father, that we as your people in this blessed nation would be mobilized to be outward focused, that it says in your word that those who are more privileged and fortunate, those that are rich would be generous to those that are in need. And maybe the time will come where it's reciprocated. But Lord, we know that as much as we can give of the finance and resource, for example, to Malawi, that they are praying for us every day. They are praying for us as a church every day. They're just doing all that they can with what they've got. And Father, they are being a blessing to us in prayer and in love. I thank you for the privilege that we have of being able to support Compass Community Care, Scripture Union, Artie, the chaplains that are making a difference every single day. And also for Africa, our involvement there, and in some parts, the Fiji projects. So Lord, we just want to commit all of this to you. We thank you for what we have been able to accomplish. But God, we know you, and certainly we desire to do so much more for your glory's sake. So help us, Lord. I just pray that you would speak to our hearts over the next month about this whole idea of pledging. And Lord, we just ask that, Lord, you would just maybe challenge us to step out in faith and stretch ourselves. That maybe, Lord God, I would go without a coffee a day. And then over a month, I could commit $90 to $100 a month because I'm giving up one coffee a day. Father God, for the extension of your kingdom through some of these projects. Or however it works. But I just pray that we'd be a people that are open to whatever it is you call us to do. And I ask your blessing on your people today. Father, I ask that you'd make your face to shine upon us. As we go out of this place today, may we be moved, may we be challenged. May we be sensitive and aware of opportunities around us that are there every single day. So I pray, Holy Spirit, as you said you would give us the power, you would give us the courage, you would give us the boldness to be Jesus wherever we go. And we pray for those that are not well within our church family. Lord, those that need a healing touch that can't be here today, bless them. Father, bring them to health speedily, we pray. Father, I pray for Josephine as she heads off to see family in Europe for 3 months. Give her safe traveling mercies. May she have a great time. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that you've got divine appointments for her in Slovenia. Lord Jesus, there are people over there that need to hear about your love and life. And Lord, for others in this church family that need to travel and are going to travel, I ask your safe traveling mercies. Keep them safe. May they have a great refreshing time if it's a holiday. And bless them if it's work. So I just pray your blessing over your people in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Sunday and enjoy a coffee. If you're visiting with us, grab a coffee, something to eat.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.